Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 499 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. That, of course, means next week is episode 500 and almost, 10 years in the making. It'll be 9.5 years that the podcast launched. It was back, actually, as I'm recording this, on June 9th. I believe it was December 9th, 2014, that the first episode dropped. And every week, I am proud to say, every week since then, a new episode has dropped, and there's actually a bonus episode out there as well. So technically speaking, I guess this would be episode 500, but I've learned in podcast lore that you don't count bonus episodes as regular episodes. So we're going to move forward, and next week the podcast will drop episode 500. Chad Smart will join me as a co-host, and we'll be giving away some prizes. Chad has sent another box of fun things to give away as the My 1-2-3 Cents prize vault. And so we'll be giving away some things next week. So be sure you tune in, and I'll give you a heads up. Leave a review, screenshot it, and send it to me via social media. And that'll get you an early head start on being a part of the contest giveaway here at My 1-2-3 Cents. Now, I had debated. I had some different topic ideas in mind for this week's episode, but I kind of got hit with a bit of nostalgia recently watching the Jim Henson documentary on Disney Plus. It is called Jim Henson Imagination, I think, or I feel bad now. I've sat here and mentioned it, and now I don't remember. Let's see if I can find it real quick here on Google. But it really, you know, because growing up, and that's kind of basically the Muppets are going to be the topic of discussion. And believe me, I'm going to be able to tie it into the world of professional wrestling. Idea Man, Jim Henson Idea Man, available now on Disney Plus. I highly recommend it. If you're a Gen Xer like me, growing up in the 70s and 80s, Sesame Street and the Muppets, and then eventually Fraggle Rock, but I kind of started to age out of the whole Fraggle Rock scene. But there was just something about, and you know, if I had a Mount Rushmore of idea men or creators like that, Jim Henson definitely is on my Mount Rushmore. Just kind of off the top of my head, I would probably to some people's disdain, Vince McMahon would also be on that list, as well as Hanna-Barbera. Put them as a team. And then, you know, obviously Jim Henson. And then that third or that fourth spot, I had somebody in my head and now I've forgotten who it is. So, but to me, Jim Henson, just a creative genius and someone who really took a vision. Oh, Walt Disney, duh. Walt Disney is my fourth, or, and those were in no particular order, but I think that, you know, with Jim Henson, there was something about the Muppets that just really resonated with me. And, you know, back, I think it's been 2011 was the year. So 13 years ago on Halloween, the Muppets were a part of Monday Night Raw. This was back in the guest general manager, guest host era of WWE Raw. The Muppets were on. They brought some comedy, some levity to the show, and I just have some good memories, fond memories. Again, that stroll down memory lane, the nostalgia that hits with that. And then we saw Hornswoggle I think around that same time, maybe a couple of years later, was in the Muppet movie, the new Muppet movie that they had come out with Jason Segel and Amy Adams. So Hornswoggle has a role in that and has, to this day, Muppet tattoos. So he's a big fan as well. And what's not to love about the Muppets and the memories and the things, the nostalgia that they bring back. You know, I go once a month. We don't do it every month, but there is a flea market here in Southern Illinois at the DeQueen State Fairgrounds. It's the first Sunday of the month, and we go with another couple, but I never buy anything. I just go mostly for, again, that dose of nostalgia, seeing the things that I had as a kid or that I still have to this day. And we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes, but it's, you know, people ask me, well, why do you go if you don't buy anything? And to me, it's just reliving and remembering. Last week when we went, I saw Jabba the Hutt that was still on the box from Kenner. I saw the Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, WWE LJN stretch figure, which I only had a couple of the stretch figures. I had Rowdy Piper, and I think I had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Never had any other ones. And the thing about those stretch figures is they didn't last quite as long as you would hope they would. And they, the inside had like a white dust in it. And I can remember, the Piper one splitting open and wasn't rough with them at all, but you know, I guess that's just the way they were. So I'm curious how those held up through time. This was still in the box, so I don't know what it looked like inside the box. But anyway, just kind of that fun nostalgia, those memories and seeing those things kind of come to life and remember the good old days, as they say. And so that's kind of what I'm going to focus on with more on this Muppet discussion, because my Muppet obsession predates my wrestling obsession. And, you know, as I'm recording this, it is on the 1 year anniversary of my mom's death. And so I also wanted to kind of reshare this story and tell this story. I guess not really reshare. I don't think I've ever told it. I may have told it before, but I know I haven't told it here on the podcast, but just kind of those memories of Muppet Mania for me. You know, when I was a kid, I know I've told this portion of the story. My dad and my brother and my uncle who lived with us, my grandparents died when he was just a teenager. And so he came, my dad was 10 years older than him. So he came to live with us. And so he was kind of like an older brother in those early years for me. But he and my dad and my brother loved wrestling. And this was back at when it was just wrestling at the Chase. That was the only thing. This was before we had cable. KPLR Channel 11 in St. Louis, Wrestling at the Chase came on Sunday mornings before WWF, before AWA or UWF or any of those other wrestling programs were available. They watched Wrestling at the Chase, and it was on, and I never watched it. It was on. I was aware of it, but I never resonated to it. It never resonated with me. I never thought much of it. I did not like it. And they would go, seem like all the time, they would go on Friday nights to the matches. And I don't know in hindsight if these were tapings for Wrestling at the Chase. I know they went to the Kiel a lot, the Kiel Auditorium, which is now, I think, gosh, I've forgotten what they've named it. It's got a corporate name now, but I forget what it is. It used to be the Savas Center, and now it's some corporate name. But anyway, the Kiel used to host wrestling all the time. And I went and looked back in the early 80s. And I mean, there were thousands, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people going to those shows every month, the Kiel shows. And then they did record Wrestling at the Chase at the Chase Park Plaza, also in downtown St. Louis. But, you know, those memories kind of predate me and my fandom, because again, this was, I'm going to guess 1980. And I really didn't get into wrestling until about 80 late 82 and then into 83, I started watching more of it. But again, it was on and I was aware of it and I would watch here and there, but nothing to where it was appointment television. It was must see for me. It was just more of a thing that was on. And then as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube behind me, you know, I have quite the collection of the LJNs, the Hasbros, some Jacks Pacific, and of course, a few Mattels. But it took a long time for me to reach that point. And that obsession with the Muppets was running wild. And I can remember that my dad and brother and uncle went to the show on a Friday night. And that left me and my mom home to figure out what we were going to do. And normally we would go maybe see a movie, or we would go out to dinner, or, you know, go to the mall, which back in the day, again, Gen Xers will remember how important and how significant going to the mall was. Well, I remember one night, and again, I'm guessing it's 1980. We went, and it was right before what would have been my 7th birthday. And we went shopping, and my mom said that I could pick out something for my birthday. And again, the Muppets were so important to me. And if you're watching, here he is, my very first Muppet character. And this is an actual puppet, which is what I love about it, because it's Rolf, for those who aren't watching. But you see on the back here, you can stick your hand in and move his mouth. And I found it interesting in that Idea Man documentary on Jim Henson, they took a basketball and cut it in half to make Rolf's head. And of course, the nose, the big white eyes with black dots, and, you know, obviously, this is more kid-friendly and not as fragile as the Muppet characters themselves are. This stayed in storage for a long time. And actually, as I was looking at it, it had the tag at the bottom. And I looked at the tag earlier and kind of was trying to unroll it, and it completely pulled off. It's disintegrated. So, but yeah, this was my very first Muppet character. And I liked it because, like I said, you can move his mouth around, and you could actually do puppet shows. And I would do puppet shows, and I my mom had made me a puppet. I made the paper mache. You know, we did paper mache. It was an art school or an art camp that I went to as a kid in elementary school. I made this big clunky paper mache head, and then she made out of denim a jumpsuit, basically, and we cut a hole in the back, and then I put my hands in and controlled the arms with it. But it was Farmer Jones, and, you know, I would have Farmer Jones and I would have Rolf, and would do puppet shows and fun things like that. And then eventually, you know, when the Muppet movies became so popular, and I think by this time the Muppet movie had already been out, the first one, had the soundtrack for that, you know, the big album. And then of course, I think it was the Great Muppet Caper, where more of the figure or the animals, plush stuffed animals and puppets came in. And I actually have, and I didn't bring them all down because I've got some of them in storage, but I had brought Rolf down because I was doing, Rolf again is the easiest one to manipulate as a puppet. But I got a Kermit the Frog, which is a stuffed animal. Gonzo the Great, which is also a stuffed animal. And then Miss Piggy was a puppet, but a bit harder to manipulate. It had a big plastic head and a wig. And then Fozzie Bear, which slips on like a sock puppet, but just has the half body. It's not the whole thing like with Rolf. It's the whole deal. So I had those, and then I got Scooter. And then eventually, like I said, during my little Fraggle Rock phase, had Fraggle. One of the Fraggles, I can't remember what his name was. It was the one with the yellow hair. But anyway, I say all that to say that when I do think about those early days of my dad and brother and uncle watching wrestling, and I relied on my Muppets, and that was my obsession for the longest time. And to this day, I still love the Muppets. When we go to Disney World, you know, we have to go see, and it's, I think it's been the same show for decades, but we'll go and watch the Muppet 3D thing. I like watching clips of the Muppet Show on various social media platforms. I will watch you know, when the Muppet Show came back, gosh, it's been a long time, probably a decade or more ago that it was back on ABC, watched it. I think it was called Muppets Tonight. There's just something about them. I don't, you know, there's, they appeal to kids, but then the humor and the comedy is geared, you know, you go back and watch some of those 70s and 80s Muppet Show episodes, and it's like, eh, this is kind of a bit more towards the adults. But yeah, I would play that Muppet album and then, you know, do lip syncs or whatever. And it was just a lot of fun. It was a good time. It brings back a lot of memories and nostalgia, which is what this podcast is all about. And as we gear up for episode 500, ooh, 500, wow, whoa, whoa, that's incredible. That's a poor Ralph impression, but you know, I'm looking forward to reflecting, and that's what we'll kind of do next week, is reflect on the podcast and wrestling in general, what has happened over the last 10 years in the world of professional wrestling. And we want your memories, your thoughts, your 1, 2, 3 cents, if you will. So let me know some of your, if you had favorite episodes, if you had things that happened, topics that we discussed, topics you want us to discuss in the future, drop them in the comments. Let me know. And I know for some reason with this podcast, usually the first week or two, the first month or two, there's not a ton of traction on it. But then once it gets going and whatnot, you know, some episodes have hit over 1,000 downloads. So I appreciate everyone who has been a part of that and continues to comment and ask questions, leave reviews, leave a review. It's been a long time since anyone has. So whether you like the Muppets or not, leave me a review of this episode or of any episode that you've gone back and listened to, or just in general for the My 1-2-3 Cents brand. But I'm going to keep it short and sweet this week, and we'll talk a bit more next week as we record and gear up for another fun week of professional wrestling. So let me know again your thoughts, your 1-2-3 Cents, and we will talk again very soon.
Bye, everybody.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.